Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
Government programs aimed at helping homeowners are being extended, but much of the COVID-19 relief for tenants has gone untouched.
There's a number of tenant advocates who are alarmed that the slow pace of state and local governments in getting this big pot of money, $47 billion, to renters and landlords, that inevitably evictions are going to rise.
We'll talk more about the implications. Plus, General Motors is recalling its Chevy Bolt, how electric vehicles are upending the car industry. And scammers are targeting cryptocurrency holders, what you can do to protect yourself. It's Friday, July 23rd. I'm Charlie Turner for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Anne-Marie Fertoli. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that move the world today. In a striking rebound from earlier this week, U.S. stocks continued their rally today, pushing the Dow to close above 35,000 for the first time. The other two major indexes also finished at new all-time highs. Stocks pushed into record territory after a string of strong corporate earnings reports and data indicating robust business activity in the private sector in July fueled investor confidence. Over the week, the Dow gained 1.1%, the S&P was up 2%, and the Nasdaq Composite rallied 2.8% for the week. Earnings reports continue. Shares of Snapchat parent Snap jumped nearly 24%, a day after the company reported its second quarter revenue more than doubled and it saw the fastest user growth in 4 years. And other big social media names also rose. Twitter shares were up 3% after the company said revenue increased 74%. Facebook shares were up 5.3%. General Motors is recalling its all-electric Chevy Bolt for a second time because of a potential battery defect that can cause a fire. GM said today that its investigation into recent battery fires involving the cars found that manufacturing defects in a battery cell were the root cause. The company's asking owners of 2017 to 2019 model year Bolts to keep their electric vehicle charges at a certain level and to park the cars outside after charging them. GM shares fell 1.5%. GM is not the only major car company banking on electric vehicles and pouring billions into upgrading motors and battery factories. Reporter Mike Colias says the change is upending the automotive workplace, from the engineering ranks and supply chain to the factory floor.
If you look at what's happening inside the industry, you know, there's a ton of disruption going on in the workforce, starting with the engineering ranks. In automotive, things are done years in advance, and so they're working on stuff that's 5 years out, and just about every major automaker has said all of our future spending is going toward electric vehicles. And so if you're the guy who is in charge of improving the combustion on a gas or diesel engine, the things for you to work on are starting to disappear.
Kimberly Clark, the maker of Huggies diapers and Cottonelle toilet paper, says it expects to raise prices through next year in an effort to offset rising costs. It comes as the company reported a 40% drop in earnings and its second straight quarterly sales decline today. Well-stocked Americans bought fewer paper goods in a largely reopened economy. And tennis star Naomi Osaka lit the Olympic flame in Tokyo today, marking the start of the Summer Games. Osaka grew up mostly in the U.S., but is the daughter of a Japanese mother and Haitian father and will be representing Japan at the Games. The opening ceremony was considerably pared down. First Lady Jill Biden and French President Emmanuel Macron were among the roughly 1,000 people in the stands, and only around 5,700 athletes paraded around the stadium, just over half as many as in Rio in 2016. Coming up, struggling homeowners are getting more time, but for renters, it's running out. More after the break.
Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. By empowering the brightest minds, GE Aerospace is reimagining engine design and advanced aircraft systems. developing hybrid electric engines, and technologies compatible with alternative fuels like sustainable aviation fuel. GE Aerospace strives every day to invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
Roughly 1.5 million struggling homeowners fell behind on their mortgages during the pandemic. Today, the Biden administration announced measures to expand federal assistance programs in an effort to prevent a spike in foreclosures over the coming months. Meanwhile, a national eviction moratorium is set to expire at the end of the month. That would leave many of the tenants that fell behind on their rents during the crisis at risk. But there's a problem with extending that program. State and local governments still haven't distributed most of the $47 billion in federal money set aside to help renters and landlords. So what's the holdup, and what could happen if the money doesn't get distributed soon? We're joined by our reporter, Andrew Ackerman. Andrew, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Andrew, can you tell us about the current forbearance measures for people with federally guaranteed mortgages? How do they work?
Early in the pandemic, the government set up a whole system that allows borrowers who are harmed by the pandemic to skip their monthly mortgage payments and make them up later. And over time, the program has been expanded from an initial 12 months. Now you have up to 18 months if you have a federally guaranteed mortgage. And so for people who entered those plans early in the pandemic, they're going to come up against the 18-month mark beginning in September and October.
Today, the Biden administration announced some plan modifications. What exactly would change under the new plan?
They're trying to target people who are exiting forbearance, who are at risk of foreclosure, and can't make their normal payments again, their pre-pandemic payments. So there's a whole waterfall of options that these people have. If you're back on your feet, you're back at your job, you don't have to make up all of the missed payments at once. You can tack them onto the end of the mortgage, generally speaking, and you only pay that once you sell your house or you refinance. But there's a population of people who they won't be making the same amount of money that they made before the pandemic. And so the idea is if they're back at work, but they're making maybe half or a little bit less than what they made in 2019, you can extend a loan for up to 30 years from now. So if you took out a mortgage like 5 years ago, it'd be a 35-year mortgage effectively. And then you also refinance into the current market rates, which are quite low.
So who would benefit most from these changes? What types of people? What's this expected to accomplish?
You've got the GSEs, Fannie and Freddie. Those tend to be middle-class people who make salaries. They're not hourly employees. But I think the policymakers I've talked to are especially worried about FHA borrowers. They think that they are going to need the most help. They tend to be lower income people relative to Fannie and Freddie borrowers. They tend to be disproportionately non-white borrowers, lower credit scores. And so, you know, help targeting that population of people who are still struggling. This fits in with the broader push by, you know, the Biden administration around racial equity. And it's a focus for this administration.
Andrew, moving on to renters. As we mentioned earlier, an eviction moratorium expires at the end of this month, and many tenants are at risk of being thrown out of their homes. This comes amid holdups in getting federal aid for renters and landlords distributed. How big a deal is this looming deadline?
There's a number of tenant advocates who are alarmed that the slow pace of state and local governments in getting this big pot of money, $47 billion, to renters and landlords to cover rental arrearages, utilities, future rent, that inevitably evictions are going to rise because the money hasn't gotten out the door and that you could see a sharp increase.
You report that of the $47 billion meant for renters and landlords, only about $3 billion of it had made its way to recipients by the end of June. Why is that? What's been the holdup?
Everyone has to reinvent the wheel 1,000 times. That's why. The way that this program got rolled out, they did an eviction moratorium last year, and then they subsequently appropriated money in a couple of big tranches. And then it was on the states to kind of create these programs from scratch, states and local governments. There's something like 400 grantees, they call them. So those are states and local governments that have their own programs. it just takes time to do that. You can't just hand out free money to people. There has to be some system to verify that people are who they say they are and they are actually, they owe X amount. We've heard from state and local officials that they're just kind of inundated with requests in many circumstances. We've also heard that, you know, the paperwork burden is really, can be burdensome on people. They have to provide 2 months worth of paycheck documentation. And if you're an hourly worker, you may not have that. And so, you know, we've heard from landlords and tenants who they filed the paperwork, they were rejected, they had to refile because their initial set of paperwork was rejected. And it just, I mean, it's a huge program that they're trying to launch from scratch, and it takes time.
So, Andrew, looking ahead, what happens next? What will you be watching for?
The interesting thing that, you know, I want to watch is, do evictions actually jump significantly? In a typical year, there's about 300,000 a month. That's obviously way down right now. And in August, come August 1st, you know, nobody knows for sure what will happen. You know, maybe many landlords are trying to work it out and they're not going to, you know, immediately move to eviction once they can. There probably is a fair amount of pent up demand, though. I mean, there's probably a number of landlords who are waiting to move to evict. But you have, that's where the White House has really pushed hard. They've been advocating for eviction diversion strategies at the local level. And, you know, those could have an effect in dampening evictions.
Wall Street Journal reporter Andrew Ackerman. Andrew, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, Bitcoin is a notoriously volatile investment, but cryptocurrency holders increasingly need to worry about another danger, crypto fraud. Consumers report losing tens of millions of dollars to crypto scams since late last year. Dave Michaels covers white-collar crime and financial enforcement for the Wall Street Journal. And he says crypto may be more prone to fraud because of a lack of licensed gatekeepers.
If someone calls you up and tries to sell you a stock that you've never heard of, you might say, well, hey, what's your name? I need to look you up on the industry, you know, clearinghouse for broker dealers. You can't do that in crypto. So if someone hits you up on social media and says, oh my gosh, this is the coolest new project in crypto, there's no way to easily background that person. You don't know if they're licensed. It is harder to do due diligence in this world, I think it's fair to say.
You can learn more about crypto fraud, how to avoid getting scammed, and what regulators are doing to address the issue on today's episode of our sister podcast, Your Money Briefing. And that's what's news for this week. Our hosts are Anne-Marie Fertoli and Mark Stewart. I'm Charlie Turner, filling in this week. The show was produced by Trinae Nouri and Sam Westren, with help from Ava Sassani, Zoe Thomas, J.R. Whalen, and editorial support from Jenny Yang, Chris Zinsley, and Kateri Yoakum. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. We'll be back Monday morning. Have a great weekend.
Planes powered by GE Aerospace technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.